Mike Taggart, founder and chief research officer at Taggart Fund Intelligence, is here. And we're talking about what happens to closed-end funds when the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates. This is The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, it points us in the direction of Mike Taggart, who has added official duties at the Active Investment Company Alliance. He's taking over the executive director role from John Cole Scott, who is now executive chairman. But like John, Mike has made his name doing research in the closed-end fund space. And you can find that research now on Substack.com. It's TaggartFundIntelligence.substack.com. But to generally learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance and the other new web home of Mike Taggart. Mike Taggart, great to have you back on The Navigator.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Mike, you wrote an interesting piece that folks can go to Substack to find that took a look at what has historically happened and what we can expect to happen with the Fed raising rates when it comes to closed-end funds. It's attracted a little bit of interest. Let's broaden out the audience for it. Tell us what your research showed.
Yeah, Chuck, so thanks. So I looked at the 2004 and 2015 rate hike periods, the last two times, and kind of, you know, what happened to closed-end funds in general. And, you know, right now, one of the narratives out there seems to be, you know, and it makes sense, right? Like, oh, closed-end funds aren't going to do well in a rising rate environment because they're leveraged, blah, 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 that sort of thing, right? And that's not really the case, because what matters is not the front end of the curve, but kind of the spread, right? And so when you look back, I looked at what I called anticipation periods, which were like the 6 months leading into both of the prior rate hike periods plus the current period, right? Because assuming that they raise in March, it's Fed raises in March, I looked at what's going on now. And you see that historically closed-end funds have sold off in price because, like I said, you know, investors are anticipating bad things are going to happen, right? But as is so often the case, the fear of what's going to happen is worse than that, what actually happens, right? And so then I looked at the 1 year period after the Fed initially hiked rates, and, you know, in across equity category, multi-asset, taxable credit, and municipal, in both periods, median returns, double-digit returns on price in both periods. So again, it actually turned out to be pretty good. The one exception there would be municipals in 2015. They were still positive total return, but it was 70 basis points essentially.
When we look at a rising rate period, is that a time when people should be saying, hey, in my closed-end funds, let's be careful about things like leverage along those lines? I mean, do we wind up seeing a difference not just between asset classes, but between investment strategies?
So I looked at like the categories to kind of get a sense of, did equities perform better than taxable credits or whatever? And you don't really see anything that's significantly different or sustainable, right? That you could say, okay, well, this will be sustainable in the coming period. But, you know, the general picture is that, again, the median returns were double-digit positive in the 1 year period after the Fed hike rates the last two times. Is it going to be different this time? Probably slightly. But the anticipation periods that we're in right now, right, the prior anticipation periods, this period looks on both performance and how discounts are performing, looks very similar to 2004, especially on the, if you look at the discount charts, it's kind of scary. But in terms of leverage, I mean, 80% of closed-end funds, I think it's more like 85% these days, are leveraged. So, you know, I didn't make a distinction between, you know, leveraged funds and unleveraged funds. I just looked at all of them.
Okay. People, of course, turn to closed-end funds for income. So they're going to want to recognize what's happening with their income relative to rising rates and maybe relative to inflation. Should they be worrying?
I think, you know, Chuck, you hit right on it. And that's the reason that I believe that people in these anticipation periods, they're looking at and they're thinking, okay, look, I'm in a leveraged fund, and the cost of leverage is going to go up in a rising rate environment, and that's going to put pressure on my fund's earnings, and I need to get out, right? So because like I don't want my distributions cut, and I don't have any clue, Chuck, where they think they're going to get higher distributions than in a closed-end fund, even if it has reduced its distribution, because a mutual fund in the same asset class would be, even though it's unleveraged, would still be facing the same pressures, right? So they sell off the shares. But again, if you had the hindsight probability is what I called it. So when you look at 2004, yeah, for all closed-end funds, the median distribution change in the first year after rate hike, the distribution fell, well, from the 6 month period before the rate hike to 1 year after the rate hike, the median distribution fell about 5.7%, right, in terms of dollar amount of the distribution. And in 2015, it was about 4.5%. So, you know, yeah, disappointing, right? I mean, nobody likes to have their distribution rate cut, but it's not like it's a 20 or 30% cut that's coming up, right? And I think, you know, that all plays into the price in what's going on right now in closing. But people think, oh, I'm going to, you know, oh my gosh, my closing fund is going to cut 20%. I know it is, 20, 30% when the Fed hikes rates. And that hasn't been borne out, you know, historically.
Let's talk about another place where people are certainly creating expectations for what they want to do, and that is senior loan funds. I talked about the Taggart Fund Intelligence material that you now have up on Substack.com, and it wasn't just that you wrote about rate hikes and closed-end funds. You also were writing about senior loan funds, and quite honestly, you didn't really seem to like them. I mean, you're suggesting people don't believe the hype. So let me have you lay out that case as well. A, what is the hype that people are hearing about senior loan funds in this environment, and why shouldn't they believe it? Because what that article very clearly said to me was senior loan funds don't go there.
Yeah, so a couple things, Chuck. And, you know, after feedback from talking to people, people calling me after I published the first paper or emailing me, you know, there's a narrative out there, and it's kind of a two-part narrative. One is senior loans will perform well in a rising rate environment. And like, I have no doubt, like that's what they're built for, right? They probably will. But the thing to remember is that when you put an asset into a closed end fund wrapper, you add two layers of complexity. You add, well, what happens to the NAV, right? When you put an asset into an actively managed fund. But then more importantly for investors, it's like, what do your fellow shareholders do? Because they're going to affect the price, right? And so I don't really have a problem with people investing in senior loan closed end funds. It's just, let's temper the expectation, because the narrative goes on and it basically says, well, hey, senior loan closed end funds in a rising rate environment, look what happened in 2016. You were up like 20% in some of these funds or more on a price basis. And, you know, distributions are set to increase in a rising rate environment just because of the nature of senior loans. And so, you know, I think, well, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. So I went back and I looked at the 2015 period. And what you see is, yeah, they performed really well, like after the first rate hike. But what you don't see is that prior to the first rate hike, they performed horribly during the taper period, which kind of set them up, you know, to perform well in subsequent periods. Discounts at the first rate hike were about 11% on average in the CLO space. And right now they're at like 1.5%. So you're not going to get that tailwind this time, because there is no tailwind to have, really. And then in terms of income security, you know, well, their earnings will do well because of, you know, this, that, and the other reason. The funds, you know, the funds themselves, not senior loans, but the actual funds. It's kind of hit or miss. It was a complete gamble. And more funds actually cut their distribution during the rate hike cycle from 2015 to 2018. More funds cut, and by larger average amounts, than funds that had increased distributions and their average amounts. So it's kind of a gamble. There's no free lunch ever. But, you know, the narrative that I was increasingly hearing was that this was kind of, you know, the place to be. It could still be the place to be in terms of, you know, relative to everything else. But the purpose of the article is more like, hey, let's temper our expectations here and let's kind of tamp down the hype a little bit in terms of what to expect going forward from senior loan closed-end funds.
Yeah, is it a flat-out no? But it is, for those folks who are looking for it, a reminder that it's not that easy. And that's what you want to look at. Mike, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me to talk about it. Good luck as Executive Director of ACA in your new role.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that's me. And you can check out my hour-long weekday podcast on your favorite podcast app or by going to moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about interval funds, closed-end funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. My guest, Mike Taggart, well, he's the new executive director at the Alliance, and he's also the founder and chief research officer at Taggart Fund Intelligence, which is now on Substack at taggartfundintelligence.substack.com. The Navigator Podcast is new every Friday. Ensure you don't miss anything by following along at your favorite podcast app. And until we do this again next time, happy investing, everybody.